bless the Lord for this morning and for this opportunity that we have to listen to the Word of God. It is a privilege and honor for me to be standing before you this morning, even as I bring the Word of the Lord to us today. This is a new month, and we receive it with joy. We receive it with celebration, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on our side. Amen. If you will turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 12, I'll pick some verses from Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. And just as a warning, today I have decided, as I preach in different intervals, I will be coughing. So when you see me cough once in a while, please be comfortable, because that is the state in which I have come before you this morning. Amen? Don't feel for me. Just receive the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Allow me, of course, it's projected for us in NIV, but allow me to read it from the Africa Study Bible. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Let's pick that verse in the NIV and let's read together. Verse 11, if we could read this together. Let's go. "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Amen. We may have our seats in the presence of the Lord. This morning, I believe the Lord has something to speak to each one of us. Again, Senior Pastor, you've just mentioned the SHE conference. And I have been asked that I also have to mention it, so that there is peace in the house. Again, ladies, you are welcome for the SHE conference. And our Senior Pastor has already mentioned that. And just again, another emphasis, we have membership classes coming up. And interestingly, some of us think we are members of Parklands Baptist Church based on various, thoughts. Maybe I have been coming for the last 20 years. I worship here. I was baptized here. I got married here. And so when members are called upon, when you realize your name is not in that book, you are surprised. We don't want you to be surprised. For you to be a member of Parklands Baptist Church, having done all those many things, you also need to go through the membership process and the membership classes. And so we are encouraging anyone who is in that category, please plug in. Let's go through these sessions. They are very important. There is a lot that you're going to learn out of them. And you will realize that there is much more to know about Parklands Baptist Church. Again, which season are we in? As Parklands Baptist Church, we are in which season? I can't hear you. We are in which season? You don't sound very confident. We are in which season? We are in the Jubilee season. Amen. We are celebrating 50 years of God's faithfulness, 50 years of what the Lord has been doing. And a number of activities are already in place. One of the things that we are doing right now is to mobilize each one of us to plug into the Jubilee prayer chain. Let me see by a show of hands. How many have already registered? You've picked an hour to pray during this Jubilee season. This one, I'll ask you to lift up your hand. Let me see. I know we have about 200 people who have already plugged in. Okay, so we are encouraging those who have not yet plugged in. We want you to plug into this season through prayer. Jubilee and revival is born out of prayer. And so we want you to be part of what God is doing in this season. And so there is a QR code. Actually, the QR codes that you are seeing somewhere in front of you, that QR code will give you access to the registration link. And you can go in there, register. Remember, in prayer, we are celebrating, we are consecrating, and we are connecting into this Jubilee breakthrough of the season. And besides that, we are also inviting each one of us to plug in. We want to see many people participating in the preparation for this Jubilee. And so put in your talent, put in your time, but we also invite you to put in your treasure. We are going to require our resources so that we can do great things in this season of Jubilee. And those resources are in your pocket, in your wallet, in your hands, in your bank account, and the Lord is calling them forth for His service. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for this morning. Again, just going to the Word of God, receive greetings from my wife who is still awake, is in South Africa. And hopefully she should be coming back home tomorrow. And so we are looking forward to receiving her. But I know she is online together with Damaris, her sister, and their mom, our mom. And we bless the Lord for this morning. The overcoming testimony. The overcoming testimony. Now, in the legal space, in the courts, and in my other life, I would have been a lawyer. I would have trained as a learned fellow, but I trained as an anointed fellow. But in another world, I would have been a lawyer. And the reason I desired to be a lawyer in this country is because I also wanted to be a politician. And that legal route seems to be a very easy route into politics. But that is a story for another day. But one of the key tools that lawyers, depend on in the argument of their case, whether as a defendant or whether as the one who has brought the case to court, is the testimony of their witness. And what would a good testimony look like that a lawyer will really enjoy and have confidence that with this testimony I stand a chance to win a case? And I know there are several legal minds that are looking at me. I am not bringing this as a learned friend. I am bringing this as an ordinary Kenyan. But one of the things I see, three characteristics of a good testimony, is that number one, it must be grounded on facts. A good testimony that will stand the test through cross-examination must be one that is grounded on facts. It must have solid facts. It must have accurate facts. It must have verifiable facts. It must be beyond reasonable doubt in its presentation. But secondly, not only must it be grounded in facts, but it must also be consistent. And that's why you will hear during cross-examination, a lawyer will say, "Earlier you said, and now you are saying." What they are looking for is consistency. That testimony must not change under whatever circumstances. But it also must have a credible witness. You could have a good testimony that is grounded on facts. You could have a good testimony that is consistent. But you could also have a witness who is not credible. A witness who is hostile. A witness who is not cooperating. A witness who is not confident. A witness without clarity. Having talked about the kind of testimony that would win or would make for a good case, brothers and sisters, I want to bring to our attention this morning that we have two kinds of believers. There are believers who are walking, looking overwhelmed by life. But there are those who are walking while overcoming in life. They are overcomers. Both are believers. One set is overwhelmed. Another one is overcoming in life. And what is the difference? The difference is not the absence of battles. The difference is not the absence of challenges. The difference is not the absence of pain. The difference is not the absence of the ups and downs of life. But I want to propose to us this morning that the difference is in the quality of testimony that they carry. The overcoming testimony. The passage that is before us this morning, basically, when we read passages in the book of Revelation, it is full of images and these big things and creatures that sometimes we may not understand them or appreciate them. And I will not go into that. I will just go into the simple message that is before us. In this passage, three things that we see in this passage. Number one is that we see a war. The Bible is just telling us clearly in verse 7 that then there was a war in heaven. And we had two parties that were fighting this war. One was Michael and his angels. And the other one was a dragon and his angels. But we are also told that the dragon lost the battle. That is one, without going into many details, what the dragon looked like and what the seven eyes or the whatever, the horns, what do they mean? Don't go into that. Just get, there was a war in heaven, and in that war, on one side, there was an angel by the name Michael. And we are familiar with Angel Michael in the book of Daniel. Angel Michael appears as the angel who again is in battle in the heavenly realms. And then there is this dragon that is described, and we are told the name. We do not have to guess what this dragon was. The dragon was Satan. And we are told that Satan lost together with his angels. But secondly, we are also told that there was an announcement that was made. The Bible says that then I heard in verse 10 a loud voice shouting across the heavens. And so there was a proclamation of something, and this proclamation is again described in the verses that follow. But finally, we are also told that there was another aspect that the believers are also brought in. The believers are brought in, and we are told something about the believers. We are told that the believers overcame the dragon by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. That, in a nutshell, is a summary of what John is telling us as a credible witness of what he's proclaiming to us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John tells us that the things that we are telling you, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, he is a credible witness. And therefore, this testimony is believable. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. John is a credible witness. And therefore, what he is telling us is believable. Three things come out of this. That how then will a believer overcome based on a testimony? A believer will overcome if their testimony is grounded on a permanent victory. if their testimony is grounded on a proclaimed victory, if their testimony is grounded on a practical victory. Our testimony is grounded on victory. We are not bringing forth our testimony so that we can win an argument. We are not bringing forth our testimony so that we can win a case. We are bringing forth our testimony because victory has already been achieved. Praise the Lord. And so... it doesn't matter who carries out the cross-examination, whether it is the devil himself, whether it is the circumstances of life, our testimony will meet those three conditions of a strong testimony, because it will be a testimony that is grounded on facts. It will be a testimony that is consistent. And you as the witness, you are a credible witness. John says the things that we are telling you are the things that we have seen. I don't know whether I have a people in the house of God today who have seen the Lord in their lives. I don't know whether I have a people in the house today who have heard the voice of the Lord. I don't know whether we have a people in the house today who have beheld the beauty of the King of Kings, who have beheld what God can do, and they can stand up and say, I am standing because I know my God. I know my God. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. I don't know whether we have a people here who know whom they have believed. And he says, I know he is faithful. That which I have entrusted in him, Paul says, I know he is faithful. He is going to carry it to the end. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Do I have believers in the house this morning? Are we overwhelmed by the issues of life? Are we overwhelmed by the circumstances of life? I am here to encourage you this morning. Even in the murkiest of waters, you have a testimony. Your testimony is a testimony of victory. And so quickly looking at those three things from the passage. Number one is that our testimony is grounded on permanent victory. The defeat that has occurred is beyond any appeal. You know, if you win a case in a magistrate's court, there is room for appeal. And the appeal will go to the High Court. And the High Court can overrule the decision or the verdict that was given in the lower court. And if you get there and your case is overruled, then there is still room for an appeal. And you can take your case to the court of appeal. In the former constitution, that was the highest court in our land. And I don't know why it was the highest, because it was an appeal. It was an appeal. Appeal. So in that court, when you appeal, they could change the decision of the lower court. But now with our current constitution, there is even a higher court. It is called the Supreme Court. And that is a very befitting name for that court. Because whatever it decides, even if it is wrong, it is binding. It is final. At least within this jurisdiction, there is nowhere else you can go. But for us as believers, there is a Suprema Court. There is a Suprema Court that sits the Supreme Judge of Judges. One who is righteous, one who is all-knowing, one who is omnipresent, one who loves the accused. Hallelujah. One who has a relationship with the accused, yet he is not conflicted. Glory to Jesus. that when the accuser comes and the accuser doesn't operate in these lower courts, our accuser doesn't operate in the magistrate's court. Our accuser doesn't even operate in the appellant court. Our accuser goes to the supreme of supremes. I'll show you where he goes. Look at the book of Job. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 1 that there was a man who was righteous. His name was Job. And one day, as the angels were presenting themselves before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible says that Satan also showed up. He had a report to give. And I believe he showed up, but he didn't have any confidence to stand before the Lord. He didn't have confidence. Because he doesn't have any confidence to stand before the King of Kings. I am looking for somewhere to hide so that I show you how the devil appears before the Lord to accuse you. I think this is a good place. Yes, this is how he appears in heaven. He appears like this and he's just peeping. He's trying to see. I don't know whether even the cameras can't find me at this point. Because the devil is not very visible when he is accusing us. He doesn't have confidence. And so God tells him, hey, I see you are around. Yes, I am around. And what do you have to say? Hey, have you noticed my servant Job? Yes, I have noticed your servant Job. But the only reason why that man stands is because you have protected him. Did I sound like the devil? That is how the devil accuses you. He doesn't have confidence because he doesn't have a testimony against you to stand on. He doesn't have a legal accusation against you to stand on because you have a credible testimony. Because your testimony is based on permanent victory. He knows that as he comes to court, I don't even know whether he carries files. He just shows up. Because he knows he's already defeated. He knows, according to this passage, that he fought a battle. And the Bible tells us that he was kicked out of heaven. That is what the Bible tells us. And so, brothers and sisters, this is not symbolic. This is a real conflict. And Michael and his angels have fought the dragon. And the dragon has been defeated. Now, brothers and sisters, the devil is not weakened. The devil is defeated. The devil is not with a, he doesn't have an opportunity to appeal. It is not a negotiated settlement. Now, though I never managed to be a lawyer, and the reason I didn't become a lawyer, by the way, it's because I am a pastor. Not because I didn't have what it takes to go to law school. You know, we need to differentiate those two things. The reason why our senior pastor is not a physics and maths teacher is because he's a pastor. Not because he didn't have what it takes. You all know he had. But because of the calling. And Pastor Simon as well, I know that he's also in that area of motion, that is at rest, that is moving, those things. Now, but I am still in that space. I am a certified professional mediator. Just tell your neighbor. tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor what your pastor is. Tell him. Tell your neighbor. But besides that, recently, as a testimony, by the way, senior pastor, I also got an accreditation recently as an international certified mediator. So one of these fine days, ukisikia niko Ukraine, I have not been recruited as a soldier. I am there as a mediator to bring Russia and Ukraine together at the table. Hallelujah. Anyway. So, you know, there are some settlements we call in mediation, we call it a negotiated settlement. So we bring the parties together, right? And then we look at the best solution that they can both live with. And so this one gives up something, and this one gives up something, and then together we say, well, it is not very comfortable, but it is workable. It is negotiated. The devil is not living in your life on a negotiated settlement. The devil is defeated permanently. It is not negotiated. He doesn't have a hold of anything. Not only is he different, is it not having a negotiated settlement, actually he is cast down, he is removed, he is displaced. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to encourage you to walk on this testimony that is grounded on permanent victory. That every morning when you wake up, tell yourself, I am a victor. I am victorious. Things may not look like it, but I am victorious. What the devil may do sometimes is that he may still attempt to fight like he did with Job. Is that he may still accuse. Actually, you know, if you lose a court case, it doesn't matter what you go to tell the media. You know, there are people who lose cases in court and then they go to media and say, no, but you know, the judge did not consider our facts. You know, some of our evidence was thrown out. You know, now all those stories don't matter. They only matter to the media because it sounds juicy. But as far as the verdict is concerned, those stories cannot change. And therefore, the devil has been speaking to the media, or what did I say? Speaking to press and things out there about you. They don't count. They are just stories. It doesn't matter whether they are on Facebook. It doesn't matter whether they are in your WhatsApp group. It doesn't matter whether they are in your clan. It doesn't matter whether they are in your family. Whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. That is your testimony. That is your portion. Not only is your testimony based or grounded on a permanent victory, it is also grounded on proclaimed victory. You see, after the war has been won in verse 7 and 9, we turn our attention to verse 10 that says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heaven. It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. Now, not only do we have a permanent victory, but we have a permanent victory that has been made public. It is already proclaimed. It is proclaimed in the heavens that salvation and power and the kingdom of our God, this proclamation says that salvation has been accomplished. It says that power has been established. We know where the power rests. The Bible says that there is salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. We know that the authority belongs to our Christ. We know that the accuser has been silenced. And so once in a while the accuser will say, but. Whenever the accuser says, but, you tell him, but. It is proclaimed. You just need to walk around with the verdict and say, I have a copy of the testimony. It doesn't matter what people say, this salvation has been proclaimed. Now, it is one thing for your victory or your verdict to be proclaimed. It is another for you to proclaim it over your life. It is another to say, I am here by every right. It is another for you to say, I am standing here because I have every right to stand here. You know, once in a while, the enemy will continue, as we say it, giving press briefs. And in the press briefs, he will go and say, you are not good enough. Are there people who have heard voices saying you are not good enough? Voices that remind you, because of the things you did, you are not good enough. In fact, there are even voices that ask, are you really a Christian? I remember when we were in high school, those days when we were younger, you know, boys are boys, and boys, we love experimenting. And one of the experiments we used to have is to experiment who can beat who, so that there should always be somebody who can beat another. And so, you know, wars will just break from anything. Anything as little as you look at me and I ask you, why are you looking at me like that? And quickly I ask you, kwani utadu? Kwani utadu? There was nothing. But that becomes, I'll see you in the evening. Imagine now, that's a war. And we only needed to get our teams now to meet in the evening. There were fighting places. And because there was no reason to fight, we came with fear and trembling. And so the war doesn't start, the fight doesn't start immediately. We draw a line. Do I have men here who are witnesses of that line? We draw a line and say, now, if you want us to fight and you're serious, now cross that line. Cross that what? You cross that line. And if they cross, you move it a little bit. You know, I'll beat you. I don't want to finish. Cross this other line. You know? The devil will keep asking you to cross lines. Whenever he asks you to cross a line, cross it confidently, because he is defeated. Cross it with strength and courage, because he is already defeated. And if he asks you to cross three times, now tell him, away from me, Satan, and he will flee from you. Brings accusations left, right, center. Oh, you have failed too much. Have you even felt in your heart that God cannot use you? How can God use you? But heaven has already ruled. Heaven has already said that you have the victory. Heaven has already said, you are my son. You are my daughter. Heaven has already said, you are free. Heaven has already said, you are a conqueror. Heaven has already said, you are healed. In Jesus' name. Heaven has already said you are head and not tail. Heaven has already said that your sons and daughters shall be mighty in the land. They may not look mighty now. They may not look like they are anywhere close to that. But you need to align yourself with the proclamation that has already been made. Your testimony should be anchored on that proclamation that has already been made. And it is a proclamation of victory. Paul says, I can do all things. And when he says that, mark you, earlier he had said, I have known what it means to lack. That is what Paul is saying in Philippians. I know what it means to lack. He says, I have slept hungry and I know what that means. I have gone without clothes. I know what that means. I have been in the hands of my accusers. I know what that means. But he also says, but I have also enjoyed plenty. I know what that means. And then he says, in all things, I am able to do exceedingly, because I am aligned to the proclamation of heaven. But finally, brothers and sisters, not only are we looking at the victory that is already permanent, not only are we looking at the victory that is proclaimed, we must then get engaged in that victory. We must then live out that victory. The Bible tells us in verse 11, the Bible says, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Another version says, and they overcame him. I think it is the New King James Version. It says, and they overcame him by, and this one says, NIV says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, the credible word of their testimony. But not just that alone, but because they knew that their victory is permanent, because they knew that their victory has been proclaimed, because they aligned their lives to the victory of God, They did not love their own lives more than the testimony that they knew about. The Bible says that they did not love their lives. They were ready to die for their testimony. They were ready to stand for their testimony. Because their testimony was grounded on facts. Because their testimony was consistent. And because of the blood of the Lamb, they had become reliable, accurate witnesses. Are you a witness of the Lord today? Are you living the witness? Are you living your testimony? And so John gives us three aspects of living out this testimony. And number one is your dependency. How will you live out your testimony, overcoming testimony fully? It is on whom you have dependent on. And John says, their victory was based on the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb gives us assurance. The blood of the Lamb gives us protection. The blood of the Lamb gives us security. There is nothing that the enemy can do in our lives as long as we are inside the blood of the Lamb. And that is why when you go to Exodus chapter 12, God gave a very specific instruction concerning the Passover. And he said, you are going to slay in a lamb and you are going to apply the blood on the doorposts. And when the angel of death shows up, he will pass over. When the angel of death shows up, he did not need to know which tribe the family that was inside that house came from. He did not need to know whether they were from the tribe of Benjamin or the tribe of Judah or the tribe of who else. You can mention those names. He did not care to know which tribe they came from. He did not even care to know whether they were priests or they were not priests. All he needed to see was the blood. He did not care to know whether they were of nobility or not. The devil does not respect the many accolades that you may have. But one thing I assure you the devil will flee away from is when the devil notices the mark of the blood of the Lamb, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, is over your life. That one, he flees. And so how do we live out this testimony? We live out this testimony if we have invited Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. That we have dipped ourselves in his blood. That we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. That we have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That we have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. And because of the blood of the Lamb, we are forgiven the past, the present, and the future. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we are justified. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we are redeemed. And the enemy has no legal holding over our lives. You do not overcome by your strength. You only overcome by Christ's sacrifice. But secondly, how do we live out this testimony practically? He says that John tells us that not only was the blood of the Lamb upon them, but they were not silent. The Bible says that the word of their testimony was a weapon for this victory. They spoke their testimony. Number one, they had a personal testimony. They had experienced, and we have seen John say, the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard. They had a personal testimony. Somebody here mentioned the Samaritan woman. I can't remember who was that, But in today's service, somebody has mentioned the Samaritan woman. If you go to John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman runs to the village after experiencing Jesus in a personal way. She runs to the village. And when she goes to the village, she starts proclaiming her testimony. She is proclaiming her personal testimony. She's saying, hey, I have met a man. Of course, they're wondering, at least we know you've had six. Now, again, you've met a seventh one. But says, no. It is not just that kind of a man. I am saying I have met a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? Oh, okay, now they listen. Oh, this is not a normal man. Could he be the Messiah? Raises curiosity from a personal testimony. And because of that testimony, a whole village followed the Samaritan woman because of that testimony. I don't know whether this council people will follow this testimony of Christ. Please follow me, brother. Council, follow me. They started following the woman. The woman is saying, hey, I have met a man. You guys are not following the testimony. You are supposed to be behind the testimony. I have met a man. Wait, what kind of a man? He told me everything I ever did. I have met a man. Could he be the Messiah? And men were following. Look at the men. They were following. Of course, they were following a woman. Pastor Felista, come in front so that we follow you. So there was a testimony and the men started following. The testimony was personal. They followed. Keep following, Pastor Felista. Now you continue slowly so that Jesus can... Continue following so that Jesus can be at the well. So Jesus is at the well. Jesus is still hanging around at the well. Bring the people. Bring them. The well is here. Bring the people. So Jesus is still hanging around at the well. Look at the power of a personal testimony. This is the power of a personal testimony. It pulls men. Anybody else who wants to join the personal testimony? Hey, these are the men and women of Samaria. They never believed in the woman, but now she has a testimony. Keep coming. Come to the well. Keep coming. There is space at the well. And then the Bible says, then Jesus started speaking to them. He started speaking to them. And as he spoke to them, the word of God was so powerful in their lives. And they said, hey, woman, now we believe. Not because of your testimony only, but because that testimony of yours has become our testimony. And now we believe. We believe in the Messiah. Do you have a personal testimony of the Messiah? A personal testimony will move to a public testimony and it becomes a proclaimed testimony. Today, you carry the testimony of Christ concerning Parklands Baptist Church. Your testimony will either confirm to the people out there that indeed we need to come and test this man by ourselves, or they will say it is just a seventh man. Don't make Jesus a mere seventh man in your lives. Make him the only man in your lives. Hallelujah. And that way, the banner of Christ over Parklands Baptist Church will stand. Please stand there as I finish. Endure with me as I finish. Brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a close, this past 3 weeks or so have been quite a trying time for us as a family. Kate's sister, our sister Damaris, whom you have prayed for, lives and works in South Africa. She was here on the week before the 11th of April. We spent time with her, then she went back to the office. 11th was a Saturday, stayed on Saturday. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, she was in a meeting. And in that meeting, she gets an opportunity to introduce her team. And as she's speaking, introducing her team, She feels what I have felt, coincidentally. She feels sort of a discomfort, a throat. She wants to cough. And so she excuses herself from the meeting and walks out. And by the time she gets out, she coughs. And the cough is, and by the way, she has told me I can share, because there's something very specific I want to pick from, you know, that amazed me, that I want to pick. But just to give you the context. So she coughs and coughs blood and immediately starts bleeding, nose bleeding. Blood is coming out of her mouth and nose. And now we don't know what this is. Or rather, the people who are there with her, she's rushed to the hospital. They do whatever they did in that hospital, take her blood samples and say, you know, go home. We will give you the results. She goes home. She doesn't, or rather, she goes back to her hotel room. She doesn't go back to the conference. And so at the hotel room in the evening later, she hasn't bled the whole day, just a bit of coughing. But in the evening, she calls her sister, my wife, and says, and when she calls, because it's a video call, she's bleeding profusely from her nose. She's bleeding, and so, and we can tell she's really struggling. And so we encourage her. We are on phone with her. We tell her, keep going, keep going. She gets to the reception, and we talk to someone at the reception from South Africa. We say, please get us an ambulance. Rush this girl to the hospital. Of course, the gentleman there says, yes, I need it right now. I need it. I'm getting it. Getting an ambulance right away. And of course, the gentleman is very helpful, gets an ambulance, goes to the hospital. And at the hospital, the girl is okay. And of course, after a few days, then many other things are discovered, and the cough recurs. But last week, but one on Monday, they needed to find out what exactly is happening. But that day, she really coughed and bled a lot. And so the doctor said, no, we can't keep you like this. We have to sedate you. And so from Monday to Thursday, is that the right word? Sedated her. So she was to be asleep throughout. Now, when she started going, you know that thing gets in and then you start going slowly, eh? Slowly. She realized, I'm fighting, I'm struggling. She tells me she was fighting and struggling. And probably I should just read it. Because I asked her, the question I asked her is, because when we got some photo, we now needed some photo evidence, what is happening to her? One of the things, when my wife got there, noticed by her bedside, and 3 days without talking to her, she noticed that there was a Bible under her, one of her hands, the left hand. And the hand was constantly on the Bible. And this is, so that really fascinated me. I just wanted to know, sister, were you seeing Abraham saying, hey, come? Or was it Peter? Or it was John? I just needed to know. I got curious. Why the Bible? And this morning, this is what she said. When I sedated, they took my phones, book, and Bible, which were on my table, to pack them away in my drawer. With the anesthetic, I was fighting to wake up. Felt like I am being forced to sleep, but I want to stay awake. And I had no words to pray, and I couldn't read the Bible, of course. But what I believed was, if I just have the Bible beside me, and rest my hand on it, then God's presence in me will be in me and will fight to the end. I really struggle. This is the interesting part. I really struggle to get the nurses understand what I need. My fingers and mind were slightly active. I could hear sounds. So every time I used my hand to tap the bed, a nurse would come. I try to write on my tummy. This is interesting. To write on my tummy the word Bible. How do you even write Bible on your tummy? So she says she tried to write on her tummy the word Bible. And most will not understand, and they will just go, until one nurse got keen, and she followed keenly how I would join the letters until she got it right and said Bible. And when she said Bible, I gave a thumbs up. He brought it and placed it next to me, and I placed my palm on it, and that's where it stayed throughout until Thursday when I was wheeled to theater. Testimony. Overcoming testimony. Today, as we speak, that lady is out of hospital, and she has a testimony. for Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I don't know whether this morning you have a testimony that can overcome every circumstance of life. I don't know whether you have a testimony that is grounded on facts, a testimony that is consistent. I don't know whether this morning you are a credible witness of your testimony. This can only happen if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you are the one I'm talking to this morning, whether you are in the sanctuary, online, in the pavilion, if that is what you want to do today and say, I want to invite this Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I invite you now to put your faith in Him. And by putting your faith in Him, just make a simple proclamation in your heart, wherever you are. And just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I am a sinner. I confess my sins this morning. All of my sins. And ask that you forgive me. I open my heart by faith and invite you as Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I stand as a credible witness because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the testimony of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. I testify now that I am born again. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for anyone who has made that prayer today. Because they have now become credible witnesses of the great testimony, the permanent victory, the proclaimed victory, that victory that is practical. And today they can live out their lives depending on your blood, proclaiming your word, and in total devotion to you. We pray that you establish them in your word. And for the rest of us, Lord, we pray this morning, where we have forgotten our testimony, where we have doubted our testimony, may your Holy Spirit this morning spur us one more time and in a new way, so that we can stand on this testimony. In Jesus' name. And God's people say, thank you very much for assisting me with my preaching today. Let's appreciate these council members. Hallelujah. God bless you. As I bring the blessing, is there anybody who may have prayed that prayer to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Anybody? We just want to recognize you, that you have prayed that prayer. You're in the sanctuary. Just lift up your hand. If you are online, you can drop us a note. Is there anybody you've prayed that prayer? You've said, Jesus, come into my life. Anybody who has done that this morning, we would like to recognize you, celebrate you, and walk with you. Is there anyone in the sanctuary? Anyone online? Please let us know so that we can celebrate you. Amen? On Christ the soul. Let us stand as we say that, we make that proclamation. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. May the Lord bless you on Monday. May the Lord bless you on Tuesday. May the Lord bless you on Wednesday. Indeed, may the Lord bless you on Thursday. Even on Friday, walk in the Lord's blessings. On Saturday, keep on celebrating God's work in your life. And on Sunday, may you come back with that overcoming testimony for the glory and honor of his name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.